May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the spring of our first year in seminary at Church Divinity School of the Pacific in Berkeley, California, my parents came from Chattanooga for a visit. One of the things we did was go to the wine country to visit a few vineyards. Maybe some of you have done that too. By happenstance, the first place we stopped was Sutter Home and did the tour and a tasting. What we didn't know beforehand is that we'd inadvertently stopped at the winery that invented my mom's favorite wine, White Zinfandel. We learned that it was invented by accident in the mid-1970s at Sutter Home by a man named Bob Trinchero. According to Wine Spectator, during the fermentation process for a dry version of White Zinfandel, the grapes stopped fermenting. This is known as stuck fermentation, when the sugar doesn't completely convert to alcohol, causing the wine to be a little bit sweet. Trinchero and Sutter Home decided to bottle it like that anyway. A little over a decade later, Sutter Home White Zinfandel was the best-selling premium wine in the United States. And I don't know where it ranks now, but I think it's still pretty high. That cash cow, as we used to say in the banking business, has allowed Sutter Home to experiment with any number of other wine varieties that might not have been financially feasible if it were not for the wild success of White Zinfandel. Closer to our San Francisco Bay home in the city of Alameda, California, on the eastern shore of the bay, across the street from the old Alameda Naval Air Station was, and I think still is, Rosenblum Cellars. Maybe you know it. Around the same time that Sutter Home invented White Zinfandel, Dr. Kent Rosenblum, a veterinarian in town, had been making wine at home for some years. His wine had become rather popular with his friends and the companions of some of his patients. Ken was and is a Zinfandel man, which is a red, bold, and spicy wine. Maybe you like it. So in 1978, he started a business making Zinfandel. And some of those original clients slash friends bought stock in Kent's little company, little winery. Drew's Uncle Todd, who has been on our prayer list for some weeks now, and Auntie Deb, as we call her, were among the original group of stockholders. For many years, Kent continued to practice veterinary medicine after going into the wine business. Many of his Zinfandels were award winners, and Kent began to be called the King of Zins. In 2008, international drink conglomerate Diageo bought Rosenblum Cellars for $105 million. So don't give up on those hobbies. You never know what might happen. Zinfandel, the red one, the original one, and White Zinfandel couldn't be any more different. And yet they start from the same grape, the same grapes. Throughout the world, wherever wine grapes are grown, the vines need to be pruned every year in order to produce the best and most abundant fruit possible. Grape vines consist of the trunk, which is the part of the plant that comes out of the ground, just like a tree trunk, and you might be saying, well, duh. Most often the trunk grows up vertically a few feet, and then there are two branches called cordons that grow out of the trunk. That too is a pruning process, but that happens essentially once. The cordons are most often horizontal to the ground and supported by a wire trellis system. You might think of them as the two biggest branches. From these horizontal cordons grow smaller branches called spurs, and then yet even smaller branches called canes. It is out of these canes in their second year of growth that grape clusters grow. Now, I don't know if any of this is on the Garden Club, you know, tutorial. If you all learned this, I thought about calling Hollis this week and asking if she could just tell me all this, but I didn't have time, or any number of the rest of you all who are in the Garden Club. Pruning is done each year during the dormant season, winter, which is true of lots of plants, and takes place at the spur, if you remember what that was. The spur is cut back to one cane, and that one cane is pruned to leave two buds on each cane. Each of those remaining buds grows into a new cane, and in the second year, those two canes produce two clusters of grapes each. In this way, carefully pruning back each year, a grapevine properly cared for may grow to be very old and produce very high quality grapes that over that time can be turned into, with care, great wine. Unlike some other plants which spring up from the ground, already the thing that we eat, grapes don't. Grapes require more. If you plant a grape, what comes up out of the ground will not be a grape for a long time. You might say the same of us. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you." Among the common definitions of the word abide are live in or with, bear patiently, endure, accept, remain, continue in place. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you." As I've said many times before, Jesus was fond of using agricultural metaphors. I almost said architectural. Agricultural metaphors. They were metaphorical stories that Jesus' disciples understood more fully than we can, because in this case, they already knew in some level of detail what it meant to prune a grapevine. But 2,000 plus years later, living a first world life in the United States, most of us don't have that same detailed knowledge. We think wine comes out of a box from Food Lion. Usually that gets a laugh. In last week's example, we might say, yes, I know what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does. And in this week's, we might think the same about a vine grower, which is what Jesus called God, if you remember. But do we really understand? In the internet age, we can research pretty quickly what the grapevine pruning process is like, but that doesn't really mean that I know what that's like. One 30-acre vineyard can take something like 500 hours to prune by hand each winter. Think of what a story this one would mean, this gospel story would mean to a person who spends that much time pruning by hand year after year. For us today, living in the 21st century in the United States of America, what can we take from such a lesson? Who will do the pruning in us that will allow for best fruit production? Even before the last past year of necessary isolation from each other, for the most part? I think the answer for most adults is we really need to tend our own vine. We need to be open to the possibility, even the likelihood, that we really don't know what we think we know about ourselves, much less anyone else. For example, that it is not our place, really, to describe the experiences, the trials and tribulations, and even the successes of other people. What I said about White Zinfandel and Rosenblum, I don't really know the detail of those stories about how that came about, how those things came about. Least of all are those whose life experiences are so different from our own. Often we have simple, what we think are simple solutions that will fix their lives, and yet we don't really understand what their lives are like. I will never really know what your life experience has been like, just as you will never really know what my life experience has been like. All I can do is listen to your story and try to be open to your truth, to be empathetic and compassionate. And maybe in the process of listening and observing and honoring the stories of other people, in some small way, I can, in a sense, prune myself to abide more deeply in the Christ that is present in the other, in that other person. But I must be open to being changed by what that other person shares with me, really changed. It is through this self-pruning, if you will, process that we develop compassion and empathy. Each being on the planet is their own wine varietal, in a sense. But we all start with the grape. And the grape, in a sense, is the space dust that is apparently present throughout the universe and in each of our bodies, too. I like a nice glass of wine, and Zinfandel is one of my favorites. But sorry, Mom, and she knew this, I do not care for white Zinfandel. How about you? Amen.